to the left of yesterday, when we were discussing the machlokes between the Sefi Rei and the Rav Yah, that was the eight bishul acharafiyah, rain bishul acharafiyah, and after Rimo Dina and Shabbos, if a person takes the challah that was fully baked, now he wants to put it into his pot soup, into his bowl of soup, is that considered to be a problem? Our initial reaction was, what's the problem? That he's ready fully baked. The Shabbos, is that ain bishul achabishul? So the Sefi Rei said, no, ain bishul achabishul. But yeh kittel achafiyah, since it's a different process, based on the same as cooking, there would be a problem of bishul post afiyah. And the Rav Yoh said it's not true, there is no such halacha. What would the machlokes is dependent upon? So we quoted that this shayla seems to appear already back in the Gemara, albeit not in the context of Shabbos, in the context of matzah, in the context of Korban Pesach, the other areas of halacha. So we'll just take a quick look inside at the first of the Rav Yoh, which is really the source of everything we've been talking about. We'll pick it up from the third line in the Gemara in Brachas Haflam Ches of the days. It's Tanya. Yotzin berekik hasharoi of a mevushu shlo nimoyach de Rabbi Meir. The Meir says, the one can be yotzin in the midst of matzah, rekik, like rekik matzah, like a crackle of matzah. The one can be yotzin with a piece of matzah that was sharoi, that was subsequently soaked in water. So if it was originally baked, and now you put it into cold water to soak for a little bit, that would be okay. Those who were into Gebrachs, please don't be insulted, but Rabbi Meir clearly wasn't. So Rabbi Meir says you can take a piece of matzah and soak it into cold water, that's all right. With a mavushal, and you can even put it into hot water, you can even cook it. And that's also okay, shalom imoach. As long as the matzah doesn't begin to disintegrate, if it starts to break into little pieces, they have a little matzah soup or something, that's no good, even according to Rabbi Meir. But just because it's cooked, that doesn't disqualify for matzah. Rabbi Yossi says, Yotze v'kika shorri. Rabbi Yossi says the first half of Rabbi Meir's statement is correct, that you can be yotze the midst of matzah if it's merely soaked, but you cannot be yotze with it if it was cooked, even though it wasn't disintegrated yet. Just the mere fact that it's mavushalas is a problem. We always pass kid like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, just that always we follow Rabbi Yossi. So we're going to focus on halacha more Rabbi Yossi shita. So why is it that you cannot be yotze with matzah mavushalas? So the context of the sugya initially was seemed to be based on the fact that the bishul cancels the afiyah. I think this is not below. So that's not true, and this relates back to this bracha. So I'm not going to get to this point right now. I'm going to skip down to the next line. This is where the Gemara seems to backtrack and say the Rabbi Yossi shita is based purely on ta'amatza, be'ina ta'amatza v'leika. That's why you're not yotzei, which is of course the Rav Yoh's critique of the Sefer Yoreim. So we saw the Gemara. This is the Gemara. This is the basic text in the Gemara in terms of the sugya. And the Gemara seems to conclude that the only reason why the matzah is so good is because of the ilah ta'amatza. So we skip down now to the third of the Marma Kamos. Just read quickly inside when the Mordechai quotes from the Yoreim. The Afapi she'ain bishul achabishul. He's quoting from the same Gemara appears in two places. He should read the brackets in the more correct reading. A person should be careful not to put bread that was baked after klisheni, even in a bowl, the makom sheyatza, let it go. And then the gam sliyesh lizar kamochein, amavushalita ekel eish becham gabosh, that's let it go. We'll talk about that a little bit later. From also chil shabbos, he says, if you did it, that's an act of chil shabbos. New Rav Yoh calls up the lav mil says that the whole chumra is not correct. To perkeit mevarche ma'isila u'masli, the gemara concludes the ad kam lechav Rav Yossi elagabi masla the ina tamasla the fear of the lake. So the bottom line is that what we spoke about yesterday. It all revolves around this line in the Gemara Masechet Brachos, that the Gemara seems to say the only reason why Masa Mevushalas is no good is not because Mishlas is not Lafiyah, but rather because it's Ta'amasa. And over that reason should not carry over to Shabbos. So it appears, just from the sub reading of the Gemara, that the Rav Yoh has the upper hand in the Sugya. It sounds like the Sefer Yoreim's extrapolation from Masa to Shabbos doesn't seem to be correct. How can we salvage the Sefer Yoreim? So now, this is what we must talk yesterday. So in the back of the first of the page of Mar Mekamos, the fifth bit of Mar Mekamos, the Taz. So the Taz writes in Sivan Shin Yuchet, the Kot, and Dov, V'ani eini kedai la'achriya ben harm gedolim. So he gives a little bit of introduction that I'm not worthy enough to decide between the two great mountains, namely between the Sefer Reim and the Rav Yah. But even though I'm not worthy, I gotta give him a shot. Because Malcolm came here looking at his deity, the Taurus al Malcolm divri ha'reim. Sefer Reim, the laws of the myth, I'm going to try to give you the correct shot at him, but derech now. The Svirle, the Sefer Reim, is going along the lines of reasoning to Rabbi Yerucham, who really emphasized Aleph, the Mitztamik Viralo, the Ainbo Bishalachar, Shadiz Bashakot Zarcho. So this is a throwback to the previous Sugya. Now we can begin to appreciate the significance of what we learned in the previous Sugya. So if you may remember, we introduced the opinion of Rabbi Yerucham in the last Sugya. We spoke about Ain Bishalach and Bishal Bezavar Lach. We quoted there were two extreme opinions in the Rishonim about is there bishalach and bishal by a soup, by a gravy, by a liquid. There was one group of Rishonim that said, ain't bishalach and bishal, doesn't matter, solid, liquid's all the same thing. Minatori, you can reheat your soups and chops, you can reheat your gravy, and the whole thing doesn't exist. That was the Shittas Rambam, that ain't bishalach and bishal b'davalach. The other extreme we have, Shittas Rashi, who said, no, that yeish bishalach and bishal b'davalach. Liquids are not the same as solids. So we explained that a sour piece of chicken, once cooked, it's over, it's done. The fact that it was in the fridge and you put it back on the fire, that's not such a tremendous accomplishment. By solid foods, ein bishal acha bishal. But by liquid, a cold soup, cold gravy, putting it on the fire, that's a new bishal. But by liquid, the original bishal was nisbatel. Those are the two extremes that we had in the Rishonim in the last Sugya. Remember, right back in the middle, we didn't spend all that much time on the Shittah, because we're going to spend time on it now, but the view of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Ramah quotes the possibility from Rabbeinu Yerucham, I'm going to get down there and show you the Talmud of the Rosh, who says that it depends. Sometimes, yesh bishlach bishlach b'davalach, and sometimes not. What does it depend upon? Is it mitzvamek v'yafalo, or is it mitzvamek v'ravo? Is the liquid a type of a liquid that's improving with subsequent cooking? Or is it a type of liquid that's getting worse with subsequent cooking? If it's mistabik v'yafalo, then yichayef. If it's mistabik v'ralo, then it's okay. That was the differentiation that Rabbeinu Yerucham drew. So comes the Taz and says, what does that taste of? What's the deal about? If it's mistabik v'yafalo, mistabik v'ralo, what's the difference? Well, the Taz explains. Continues at the end of the second line of the Taz. So kfar b'yayinu time, though. The mitzvah v'yafalo yeshva mishum gishol came in the nana melech Shabbos the ta'am chodesh. This is the first line. Says the Taz, the reason why mitzvah v'yafalo, that the fact that the food is improving, that the cold gravy, the cold soup is improving, is a factor that determines with yeshva mishum gishol, because of one thing and one thing alone, taste. You are improving taste, and that's critical in terms of a Shabbos. Hashem came mitzvah v'yafalo. When it comes to mitzvah v'ralo, what are you doing? You're ruining the taste. Your wife's screaming at you. What are you putting this on the fire for? You're making it worse. When you're making things worse, and when you're ruining the taste, you can't be chai mishum bishul. When you're improving the taste, then and only then can you be chai mishum bishul. So says the Taz, what I see from Rabbeinu Yerucham is the following. Taste is a critical factor in Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos is not just an objective halachic based matter statement. You cook. It is not cooked. We mentioned in the end of the show yesterday, whether something has cooked or not, I'm sorry to insult anybody here, but it's not determined by us in the Beis Medrash. It is determined by, if you work in the kitchen, that's also fine, but I'll talk about my own home. If it's a Lulevsky home, it's not determined by me in the Beis Medrash, it's determined by my wife cooking in the kitchen. If my wife tells me, listen, this taste is improving, my answer to that statement is, we now have Bishul on our hands. If she says, you're ruining the food, it's getting worse, then that's not considered to be, Bishul. So come to Taz with this Yisoy, which is ultimately based upon Rabbeinu Yerucham's distinction between Ralo versus Yafalo, and says this is going to save the Sefer Reim. So continues the Taz, in Cain, in the fourth line, Noma kan gam kin tzvarazu, that the af l'may l'moy, the mitche, l'far shahi, the Rebbe Yos, m'shem bin atah matzah, even though the Gemara makes it sound like that the only reason why you're not yotzei matzah is because you need ta'amatzah. Zem mo'el litchot ta'id etzal l'cheisach v'od adishnal d'sham k'yas ha'kos l'kosti bo'idu v'lo v'tam ta'am yotzah. Hakei nuchalom alon espatam in asher nitzli. When you're talking about l'chos karim Pesach, is it called roasted? Is it called mevushal? That has nothing to do with ta'am. That has to do with the process. But the matzah boy ta'am matzah. You need matzah ta'am matzah l'chamoni v'hinan. Nuchal litchot ta'id etzal l'cheisach v'lo v'tam ta'am yotzah. Aber kamen in Shabbos, So Mahari Haidechia. So comes the Taz and says, but in Hilchas Shabbos, we can't say that Masa is different than Shabbos. The Chinami came from the Tamasa, the Yidan. Hachinami, here's the punchline, Hachinami, as Linan does a Tam Hatafshil. The Kavan, the Mishtana Hatam, I did Bishol. I'm Linan, the Discover does a Bishabbos. The other from the Tam of Yafalo, Yesh Bishol, Bishol, Achfilo, Achabishol, Koshin, Achafia. That's the Chag. Bishol Acharafia, which the Gemara concedes is affecting the Tam. That's what the Gemara said, Linan Tamat of Aleka. So everybody agrees that Bishol changes the Tam post Afia. That is the only factor to determine whether you violate Nisra and Shabbos as well. So comes the Taz and says, they say the Arabian is convulsing. When the Gemara says that the reason why the Master of Rishalos is no good is because the Tam has changed, you see that Bishol post Afia can change Tam. It's that factor of changing Tam that creates a problem with the Shabbos. Because after all, everybody knows that the Shabbos is based on the change of Tam. Proof positive of any Yeruchim. So this is the Taz of Shtikl Teres and defend the Sefer Yireh. The issue that we have with this Taz, the Chilus Kof, the Eilig Taz, the Gevald of Keteres, is only as true as Rav Ben Yeruchim is true. I mean, Rav Ben Yeruchim is the source. It's implied that it's hinging upon the validity of Rav Ben Yeruchim's distinction between Rachel versus Yofalo. Unfortunately, for the Taz of Shtikl Teres, that we probably don't accept the Shabbat Yeruchim. Now it's true, it was quoted by the Ramah as a possibility back in the Devalach. It's not conventional wisdom. Most of the Rishonim either said, Ein Bishlach HaBishl B'Devalach all the time, or said, Yesh Bishlach HaBishl B'Devalach all the time. Very few Rishonim drew that distinction between the time for Yafalov and the time for Ralo. What conclusion can we draw from the fact that probably nobody else bought into that distinction? Is that all the other Rishonim are assuming that Bishol is not defined in the kitchen, as strange as that may sound. Bishol is a halachic process. Bishol is defined by the world of the Bishmetrish, namely, if you do a halachic maisa that the halacha determines, that's kach nemer halach marstin, this is called Bishol. If you did Bishol, you chai, you didn't do Bishol, you potter. Don't tell me a story, it depends on the cookbook. It doesn't depend on the cookbook. It depends on the world of the Bishmetrish. It depends on, was there a halachic maisa called Bishol that took place? If that's the case, then the whole Taz's pshat and Sefer Reim is going to begin to unravel. So, lav dafka, we want to hide behind this Rabbi Yerucham in order for this shita to remain halacha. It's possible the Sefer Reim held that way. But if the Sefer Reim shita is bound, is wedded to Rabbi Yerucham, that's not going to bode very well for the validity of the halacha of the Sefer Reim. So, we're going to suggest, I guess we have to introduce like the Taz also, but we come up with a senior diet, we got to do something, we can't just leave it like this. But let's see if we can come up with another shot in the Sefer Yireh. So the Chorah, in order to address the issue of the Sefer Yireh, we got to go back to the drawing board, back to that Gemara in Masechet Brachos, because it was really that Gemara that's the pivotal sugya. The Gemara said, Masa is different, don't bother with Masa, but Inan Ta'amasa Valeka. And we are wondering, can we extrapolate from Masa to Shabbos? I always tell my boy in Shiva, it's a cloud problem. When you try to analyze something, you try to explain, it's B similar to A. That's my Shaila. I want to know, Shabbos like Matzah. That's really the root of this entire sugya. The Shabbos like Matzah. The only way to know whether B is similar to A is you have to understand what A is. If you don't understand the characteristics of A, if you don't understand the background, the oneness of A, how in the world are you ever going to apply? Does A equal B? If you don't know what A is, how in the world are you going to figure out whether the rules of A carry over to B? I always tell the boys, this is like a life skill. When you try to, we spend most of our life trying to figure out a thing similar. And everybody does this. The doctors always do this. You see, why do you have to figure out? Is this case the same as this case? Different from this case? Everything in life has similarities and differences. In order to understand properly, are we being, it's called Madam and Milsa or Milsa. Are we comparing things properly? You have to really understand the essence of what the first case is all about. So we have to go back to the drawing board, back to the Inan Ta'amasa V'Leika, and understand what exactly that meant. If we have a better understanding of Inan Ta'amasa V'Leika, then we can begin to discuss intelligently whether we should spill it over, whether we should carry it over to Hilchos Shabbos. So what do those words mean, Inan Ta'amasa V'Leika? We have to, in fact, go back to Hilchos Shabbos right now. When I was coming this morning, so I noticed the moon. The moon was out very clear this morning, so I turned to my side, drove my Wednesday morning to the it's carpool, pre-shia. That's why everyone notices it. I usually come to shia, I drop earlier on Wednesday because I'm up earlier. Either that or I'm drop later, depending on whether I was late for the carpool. But anyway, but so as we walk down this morning, the moon is really, really late. It was really a clear quarter of a moon. Except that that move is very, very scary, because that means there's only a week left to Chodesh Elul. That move, it's ready. A quarter of a moon left. That means the Shana is mamish around the corner. So probably the number one topic on our minds right now is not Hilchos Pesach, but you know, gotta learn the sugyas as they appear. Can only plan it properly. So everything is properly. So we have to learn the sugya about Pesach a little bit. What does it mean that you didn't talk after the lake? So the eighth of the Mamre Kamos. Take a look on that sheet. So the eighth of the Mamre Kamos. The Talmid of Ben Yoyin in the Sefer Bracha have an observation about this line of the Gemara, which is critical. Yeshuv the Beinat Ha'Masav Aleika. B'Tema asks Rabbi Yoyin. B'Tema is that Haloshim. Shalom Matzina the Beinat Ha'Masav. Says Rabbi Yoyin, you know, the reason Gemara makes it sound like, well, the reason why last week Mishalos is no good is, don't you know? Because Beinat Ha'Masav Aleika. Oh, of course, why did I figure that myself? Obviously, you need Ha'Masav. The Gemara is just highlighting to you something, by the way, the reason why the Master was shelter, no, this is because you need that Master. But Yonah is sitting there and thinking, wait a second, what did I miss? 121 bottom of Sechet Tzach, what did I miss? Where did the Mish take the Sechet Tzach? Who heard of such a thing? That Ezra Ben Yonah, the Bina Tzach, El Lechem Oni, we know that Master has to be Master. We know it has to be Lechem Oni, but where in the world do we ever find Tzach Master? When the Farshim Ben Tzach, the Baliat Tosfos, the Rabbanim from France, and the other lives in Spain. He's quoting from the Rabbanim Tosfos from the French Rabbanim, Baliat Tosfos. The Ba'ina Ta'amata Aniya Veleka, the Zu Kevashi Vushela Tabila Mata Ashira. The other Mamash sticks into the words of the Gemara. The Gemara said Ta'amata. That's not really what the Gemara meant. What the Gemara really meant is that was like a code phrase. You should have chopped it right away from the video. And then when the Gemara said Ta'amata. What the Gemara really means is, we all know that it's not enough just to be matzah, it has to be lechem oni. And matzah b'vushelet is not lechem oni, it's the opposite, the antithesis of lechem oni, it's matzah ashira, it's too rich, too creamy, too juicy, too fancy to be matzah, and therefore, it's not lechem oni. Once it's not lechem oni, then maybe you're not yet to the matzah. So when the Gemara says, v'ina ta matzah, the Gemara didn't really mean v'ina ta matzah. The Gemara really meant to say is that even ta'am ma'asav lechem ayni, and that's the real psul. The real psul is hilchos lechem ayni. That's why you're not yet. Ma'asav v'shelas, for the video, just made a new equation. Ma'asav v'shelas equals ma'asa ashira. It's not lechem ayni. It's not sufficient to be yet to the mitzvah. Now, suffice it to say that this is a hard for me to be machriv and ham gedolim, but one can already begin to sense there's somewhat difficulty in this trap. The Gemara knew how to say lechem ayni. If the Gemara wanted to say lechem ayni, the Chayit should have said lechem ayni. So it's a little bit difficult to say that, well, Batra, Shira, Lachmoni, and Tata Tamasa means, but Kherbin, no, that's right, because Tata Lomati, we've never heard of such a thing called Tamasa. But is there another Pshat in this Gemara? There must be another Pshat. Whenever you see a Pshat in a region like this, you sense that there's got to be another Pshat. There's got to be other Pshat about the different Pshat in this Gemara, because the words don't seem 100% to fit smoothly into this Pshat. So it is clear that the Rishonim will disagree with Rabbeinu, you know? First and foremost, the Rashba. If you take a look at the sixth of the Mamre Kamos, the Rashba emits Sugya and Brachas Amachet and Mabez. From the way the Rashba presents the Sugya, it is obvious that he disagreed with the Rabbi Yehudah. So the Gemara made a statement that according to Rabbi Yossi, you're not Yossi with Masa Vushalev, because the Inatam Masa. That's what we quote from the Rashba, the first line, the Rashba, Mamre Kamos, number six. Lohi Atkan Lokam Rabbi Yossi, Yelagari Masa, the Inatam Masa Vushalev. The Rashba begins to analyze the sugya by going backwards. Let's not talk about Rabbi Yossi for a second. Let's talk about the other time here. We have to give Rabbi Meir a little bit of time. Rabbi Meir said, you are Yossi with Matzah and Mushalas. The finish. Now we know. Like you said, remainder of Yossi, are you Yossi with Matzah and Mushalas, or are you not Yossi with Matzah and Mushalas? So comes the Rashba and says, what's the Nekudas HaMachlokes? Well, the Gemara just explained that according to Rabbi Yossi, you're not Yossi because the Eden Ta'amatzah. Then l'chora, that's the point Rabbi Meir disagrees with. The l'chora, the nekudas ha-machlokes, the point that they disagree with, is there halacha b'din ta'amasa, or is there no din of b'din ta'amasa? If Rabbi Yossi says you're not Yossi for that reason, then Rabbi Meir must deny that reason. So comes the Rashba begins to analyze that nekuda. Why is it that Rabbi Meir disagrees with Rabbi Yossi? What point does Rabbi Meir disagree with? So comes the Rashba and says, the time is Rabbi Meir, he says, no. He says, don't understand the Gemara Kepshuta that Rabbi Meir holds there's no din of Tamatza. Rabbi Meir never heard of Tamatza. Says the Rashba, that's absurd. to say that Rabbi Meir denies Tamas. It can't be. You know why it can't be? Tamayde Rabbi Meir v'yarachash any yotzer lebuk bush lebush lokin lebush shalom. There's a mishnah in the second breath of Sach that everybody subscribes to. You can't be yotzer with maror lebush. If you cook maror, or if you soak maror, vinegar, you pickle maror, you can't be yotzer with maror if maror is lebush. So he says, and why is that? The taima mishum deinatam maror v'leika. He says the reason is because you require ta'amoror. So if you need ta'amoror, obviously you need ta'amhasa as well. That's the Rashba's equation. So he's extrapolating from the Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim that says you need ta'amoror. You're not yotzei mar mevusho. If you're not yotzei mar mevusho, so then obviously you shouldn't be yotzei with matzah mevusho either. Because they should be the same. But what's telling Rabbi Meir? And the Rashba continues. And I'll bring you another raya. Of course you need ta'amhasa. Well, the krichas bar nami chashira de ma'asim raja abanu v'alotam matzah deraisa. The Gemara says in the other Masechet Pesachim that even according to the view of Hillel, who is the big believer of the kerich, of the sandwich, the manchem is a mikdash ha'yakayim. So according to Hillel, the way to fulfill matzah and maror together, matzah and yachlum, you have to be eaten together. The Gemara says that even Hillel concedes that this man is there, that trick's not going to work. You can't be yotzei matzah that way. You know why? In the olden days, in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, when matzah was deraisa and maror was deraisa, then the two could go hand in hand. They could own a sandwich together. This man has there, maror is only midirabbanan, because maror depends on the existence of Korban Pesach. Matzah is an independent mitzvah deraisa. If you're going to make a sandwich of a maror and a matzah, the Gemara says, Asi maror derabbanan, umuvato matzah deraisa. The maror derabbanan is going to overtake the matzah deraisa, and you're not going to be yotzei. Why is that? Because it's canceling, it's negating the ta'am masa. So said, and the Gemara doesn't say that, but that's what the Rashba just said. So says the Rashba to say that Rabbi Meir denies the requirement of ta'am masa, it cannot be. And so the Seirish and Mishnah, that everybody accepts the halach of ta'am maror, so why should your friendship be maror masa? And number two, we have a Seirish and Gemara, which says, Vavim Sachim, that you can't do kerech like you did in the days of old. The Ikra did, we do Karach, this is an afterthought, it's a Zechel Mikdash. The Karach really doesn't work this man is that. If you only matzah more to say it would be Der Karach, it wouldn't be Yaitzeh, because you don't have to matzah. So how could Rabbi Meir deny it? The same should be Shnayis. What's Rabbi Meir's take on all this? So comes the Rashi and says, everybody agrees that you require ta'amatzah. That's a given of Tamatza. That's the premise. Everybody agrees you need ta'amatzah. The Machloik is Rabbi Meir of Yosef is on a different point. As Rabbi Yossi saw a matzah came a vashel of bottle of time, Rabbi Meir saw a bottle time. Rabbi Meir holds, of course, you need ta'am matzah. But Rabbi Meir says, what made you lose the ta'am matzah? If you went to a pot of hot water, that doesn't cancel that. Still tastes like matzah. Tastes like hot matzah. There's Rabbi Meir, you still have the ta'am matzah intact post bishul. The Nikudas of Machlekes in Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi was not, is there a requirement for the existence of ta'am matzah? The Machlokes is, do you have that existence post-Bishul? Rabbi Meir says, what's the big deal? How does Bishul negate the Tamas? If you eat matzah and maror together, that's how to cancel the Tamas. But just cooking up the matzah, throwing some pot of water, that doesn't cancel the Tamas. And Rabbi Yosef says, no, it does. But eating Tamas of Aleka, that's a bit, though, of the Tamas. Aval ben maror concludes the Rashi, Shai Yerachas, Kulu Moses, the bottle of Tamas of Bishul. But maror, you throw maror into a pot of water, that for sure cancels the Tam maror. So the Rashba, the whole revamping of the entire sugya, the whole machlokes of Meir of Yossi, is totally different than we thought. We thought, before we saw anything in the sugya, we saw the words, we eat a ta'amatza v'leika. So we thought, yeah, that was Rabbi Yossi's chiddush that you need ta'amatza. And Rabbi Meir says, no, you don't need ta'amatza. So the Rashba says that's impossible for various reasons. The machlokes is, did Bishul cancel ta'amatza or not? If I didn't need ta'amatza, the machlokes is, and how to gauge Bishul. Was Bishul sufficient to cancel Tam Masa? That was a Yosef Shifa. And that's the point that Rabbi Meir disagreed with. But the existence of Tam Masa, Kuliyama Likwidi. Let's not forget, when the Rashba was proving to you that you need Tam Masa and Chaladeos, he proved it by comparing it to Tam Moror. Just as you need Tam Moror, so he has this equation on the blackboard. If you need Tam Moror, that's for sure you need ta'amasa. That's the premise of everybody. Mayor of Yosef, anybody buys into that equation. If you need ta'amora, then you need ta'amasa. This requirement of ta'amora, whatever it means, I'm not sure what it means yet. One thing I can tell you, it doesn't mean. This halacha, the pa'ina ta'amora, I can tell you one thing with absolute certainty, It has nothing to do with lechem oni. There is no din of mora oni. There's no din of lechem oni by mora. And the Rashba is equating the two requirements of the ta'am. If you need ta'am mora, then you need ta'am matzah. It is obvious that the Rashba did not learn like his relative. Yonah and the Rashba were related to one another. They were cousins, something. So the Rashba and the Rabbi Yonah clearly are learning ta'am matzah radically different from one another. Whereas Rabbi Yonah, machtavek, he said, ta'am matzah, never heard of this. Never heard of ta'am matzah. Ta'am matzah must really mean just being lechem oni. The Rashba for sure didn't learn that way. The Rashba couldn't have possibly said it has anything in the world to do with lechem oni. If it does, what does that do with what? What's the whole kasha there? The whole shakat on the Rashba doesn't make any sense to begin with. So Kochbanim, now we have a major machlokes with the Gedalia and Rishonim within the family, the Rashba and the Rabbi Yonah. What do those magic words mean for either Ta'am Matzah? But let's go back to Rabbi Yonah. We gave equal time to Rabbi Yonah, equal time to the Rashba. Let's go back to Rabbi Yonah for a minute. What did Rabbi Yonah tell us? Rabbi Yonah said that the real chisaron of ta'am matzah, let me go do a taste. The real ta'am matzah really means that it's not lechem oni anymore. So I have a question, Rabbi Yonah. Why is it not lechem oni anymore? What's not oni about it? I took a piece of matzah. It was very lechem oni up till now. I mean, it may have been, as the joke goes, it's called lechem oni because by the time you finish blowing your matzah, you pass on oni. But you have lechem oni. You have this real 100% kosher lechem oni. What made it lechem oni? It was flour, water, date. It was a fancy, nothing fancy, no fruit juices, nothing out of the ordinary. Good 100% kosher lechem oni. I threw it into a pot of water, moist lechem oni. How did that happen exactly? What was that transfer? What transformed to make it no longer lechem oni? I understand when I bake matzahs with apple juice, that's not lechem oni. But I bake matzahs with water. How does the bishul process affect the lechem oni shabbos? L'chora, what Rabbi Yonah is telling us is as follows. Lechem only can only be accomplished through a certain process. What's the process to create lechem only? It's got to be a fia. That's how a poor man prepares his bread. Derech hafia. If you start to introduce any other process under the sun, even though it was already technically baked, once you superimpose another process, you're asking for trouble. But any new process that's being introduced, that's too fancy. Poor people don't do that. Poor people bake the bread. They don't bake it and then start frying and cooking and start. We're trying to that. That's not called lechem oni. Lechem oni is flour, water, oven, paper. That's lechem oni. The minute you start to be the vashel, the post tefiah, we can even use the following phrase, that the bishul is mevatel v'afiah. Now, don't take that to the logical conclusion to say, that bishul is mamish mevatel v'afiah entirely, but vis-a-vis hilchus lechem oni, bishul is now effective. We can't ignore bishul anymore. You can't look at bishul and say, bishul, what did bishul do? Bishul is meaningless. It's not meaningless. Bishul is mevatel the lechem oni shabbos. Now, if we wanted to draw a really, really fancy lumbus, we could say as follows. Bishul is not mevatel the chefta of lechem shabbos. I may still recite hamotzi on it, unlike the rash that we quoted quickly yesterday. Bishul is not the vatel the afiyah vis-a-vis the vatel the shame chefs of lechem, but bishul is the vatel the process of afiyah that's no longer lechem oni. That's what bishul does, and that's what the even tamas of aleka means according to Rabbi Yehuda. Even tamas of aleka doesn't mean hey you don't have tamas to gavat, that's terrible. Rabbi Yehuda says lo ashkechon the din of tamas. You never heard of din of tamas. What bishul does is it undoes the din of lechem oni, but how does it undo lechem oni? It undoes lechem oni by an infesting of Ashal the afiyah to a certain degree. So says the Eglital, the Da'as Rabbein Yonah. This Rabbein Yonah's pshat in the Gemara, the Yidat Amas Veleka, is the beginning of the understanding of the Sefer Yerayim. According to the Sefer Yerayim, why is Yesh Bishul HaChavir, why can't you throw your challah into your soup on Shabbos? Because you're doing an act of bishul. So we said, what act of bishul? The Gemara said the reason why the matzah is no good is because we didn't have matzah v'leika. That has nothing to do with the mitzvah of bishul. That's a totally limited, unique din, tafka that's relevant to Pesach. How did the Sefer Yerayim know to extrapolate from Pesach to Shabbos? The answer is, even in Hilchos Matzah, it's a din of bishul, quote-unquote, in Mevatel Afiyah. When the Gemara concludes that we didn't have matzah v'leika, the Gemara is not concluding that there's some kind of tangential din some unique din of Hilchos Pesach called din tavas v'leika. What the Gemara is saying is, you need lechem oni, And the only way to explain why Bishol canceled Lechaloni is because Bishol, to a certain degree, is Mavakal Asiyah. This is exactly what the Sefer Reim says. Thank you, says the Sefer Reim. It's exactly why you can't put your bread into the Sufa Shabbat. Because you're doing an act of Bishol. And Yesh Bishol Achar Asiyah. So through the eyes of Rabbi Yona, the Sefer Reim Mamish saw in this Gemara. He saw lit in the Gemara itself, in the words of the Gemara, B'nin Tabas V'Aleika, that means the following. That means, B'nin Tabas V'Aleika, that means it's no longer Lechem Honi, which means Bishol is in effect of Vapor Hashem Afiyah V'Zechus Lechem Honi, which translates to mean that you cannot put your bread at your Super Shabbos. So this is a perfect extrapolation of A to B, which is as long as the rest of the day. We understood A through the eyes of Rabbi Yonah. Now we can understand the comparison to B. And it works out geographically also. Because where did Rabbi Yonah's Peshat come from? The Mepharshim Rabbani Tzorfas. So who is Rabbani Tzorfas? The Rabbani Tzorfas. The Rabbani Tzorfas. Maybe the Rabbani Tzorfas. Which is who Sefer Yerayim was. He was the town of the Norfolk of Rabbeinu Tam. This is exactly the same Shita. But we have to give that equal time back to hopefully the Shita Sarashba. And according to the Shita Sarashba, we're going to have a lot more difficulty understanding any comparison at all between A and B. We'll go back to the Rashba's reading of the Gemara and try to understand whether we can extrapolate according to the understanding of the Rashba.
I thought the exact opposite. Because if you say that Bishul is Mevatel, not the Lechem.